Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome again here on Circles of Change. As always, a great opportunity here after the first of the year. We're going to be getting another guest here on the line, catching up with Andy Tarzan, who's with TDG Research. Andy, of course, I don't want to steal Mike Swanson's thunder, the show that comes up after mine. Mike, of course, is our computer guru, and I know he spent the week in Las Vegas as well, checking up all the latest and greatest from mobile to television to who knows what's coming next. So let me introduce Andy as we're getting him up on the line. I'm calling this segment, by the way, Hot Off the Mobile Network from CES. And Andy is founding partner and leads corporate development for the Diffusion Group based out of Austin, Texas. And on the web, it's tdgresearch.com, and it's a consulting practice known for research on and then translating of the emerging technologies and applications to harness the power of the Internet. Andy spent two decades in consumer technologies, and as a product manager, he was responsible for some of the earliest efforts to connect wireless data networks to Internet information sources. And today, he consults with numerous technology companies, video providers, and consumer electronic manufacturers to understand the behaviors of the connected consumer and the evolving video markets. He works directly with clients on innovative video products that capitalize on the power of the open Internet to deliver new services and device categories. So there's nothing like having someone who's right on the line and right in activity. Andy has, in fact, was an individual, one of several that I had the chance to meet when I went to a consumer service activity in Chicago. In fact, we had one of the other speakers come on the show, Gary Schwartz. For those of you who may have listened, Gary's written the book, The Impulse Economy. We called his segment From Click to Ka-Ching. And then also we followed up from the eyes of youth. We interviewed the gentleman that, under the pseudonym of Android, has written the book, Goodnight iPad, which was a play off Goodnight Moon. Of course, that was Dave Milliken, who's based out of New Hampshire. So with that, we've got Andy on the phone. Welcome, Andy. How are you today?
Well, good afternoon, Zara.
That's great. Well, tell me, exactly, are you resting your feet in Epsom salts from having worked the Consumer Electronics Show for a week?
Well, 6 days in Vegas, talking to over 100 companies. Oh, I kind of joke that I'm ready for a CES.
I love CES. Oh, clever. Well, very good. Well, Andy, I introduce you to our audience. This is not new to you, though, right? You've been to this show countless times, I suspect.
This was my 18th show.
Oh, wow.
18 years of this, and it's fascinating to see how far the technology has come, and then behind all the glitz and glamour, how far we've really come in improving the consumer experience.
So tell me, what was different about this year's show compared to any of the others that are very memorable in your mind of having traveled to it?
Well, most of the work I do is around television and consumer experience. Mm-hmm. And what does this Internet connection mean? And for the last 12 years, it's been a promise to us that, oh, yes, all of your devices will connect. You'll have the Internet delivering video. And for the most part, that's been happening for the last 4 years. But this year, we've really started to see there was no revolution this year. It was an evolution, but it was an important evolution that finally, in the television, the connected TV, the processors are fast enough. The experience is going to improve. The promise to the consumer that you can do all of these things easily is going to become a reality. And that was good.
That was great. So in other words, I'm not going to have to sit there with three different remotes trying to figure out if I'm turning on this or that when I sit in front of my big screen there.
Exactly, and it's not only that. Since we have so many users now in the Netflix world, mm-hmm. and the Hulu world, using these services to use the Internet to deliver to the TV on top of their pay TV service, you have to bounce between services on the same TV, and that's a real challenge. There's a lot of companies really trying to address the fact that if I want to search for a program, if I want to watch the latest movie or television show, I can do one search and find it whatever service it might be in. And even more importantly, the discovery side, where based on the behaviors of how I watch television and the fact that you can actually monitor what I'm watching, that allows content that might be more interesting to me to actually find me. So the suggestion and discovery process is really starting to come together this year.
And then, of course, at the end of the day, what really causes the financial streams for television is the advertising side of it, so that now companies looking to leverage the TV, you know, as a medium to expand their aisle, right, and catch the consumers, that kind of data then is going to be available.
Well, precisely. And the other side is that the targeting to the individual consumer based off your, not just the interest of the show you're watching, but the interests of you, the consumer, are being met. Now, of course, that always brings up the issues of privacy. Are you monitoring every show I watch? And that's a little bit up in the air at this point. But most of the companies out there are really trying to say, what does your household do? What is going to appeal to you most? And so really taking the metrics off what you watch at an individual level to bring things that are more relevant. And if you're watching something, and even in advertising, it's more relevant. Advertising more being more relevant, that's going to improve your overall viewing experience and your desire to interact with that content.
Indeed.
So commercials no longer become commercials. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that they really become targeted to your particular interests, right? So they're looked upon now as information nuggets.
Exactly.
So the idea they wouldn't be invasive on me, that I really would getting information packets that were relevant to what my interests are.
That's the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even in internet advertising, we don't see that yet. So we'll have a long ways to go, but that will be a process that will evolve over the next decade to really help that individual consumer get the information most relevant and turn it really cross that line between commercial and entertainment.
Yeah, in fact, that's a good place to go, Andy. I know when you and I had a chance to meet last fall, there were a group of us standing outside this conference, and I had approached all of you that are so embedded in this emerging technology area and say, you know, gentlemen, you got to help me understand something, or something I'd like to offer you, and that is my children who are 14 and 17, except for watching the Food Network, they don't do TV. 100% of their content is coming through their laptops, and to them, the fact that the shows they might watch that are otherwise from the regular networks come through Hulu that are delayed, or the same way the idea of going to movies, they're like, why? That's lame. That they're not all about needing to see the latest flick right when it comes out. That there's this whole different dynamic, and in fact, you all were introducing this whole concept of the screen, where it used to be the first screen was the TV, the second screen was your desktop computer, the third screen was your laptop, then maybe the iPad, but now it's the mobile phone. So talk to us again, your vantage point of, quote, traditional TV or cable or broadcasting to this whole shift then about my content, my way, you know, my time.
Absolutely. Well, I grew up in the world of same bat channel, same bat time.
Exactly. You know, clear the deck. In fact, now you're younger than I am. In fact, I ran home so I could watch Batman at a given time, and you didn't even do that. You're not that old.
Exactly. there's an entire shift happening around who controls the broadcast schedule.
Yeah.
And in the past, we've been told that it was the broadcaster.
You bet.
Had to be there.
Yeah.
And now it's moving into the hands of the consumer. And what we've seen is a shift from the VCR allowed us to record that show, and we tend to watch that show later on the night.
That's provided we knew how to work our VCR, but that's why we asked our kids to figure out how to do that. Yeah, I got it. I'm with you. You still got me. If we could program it, we would get it, yes.
If it wasn't blinking 12, and then we moved on to DVR, and the DVR behavior started to say, look, I'm gonna take a couple episodes and shift them and watch them up to a week later. And then we had this whole world of streaming content and series from Hulu and Netflix. And what we're seeing now is a binging concept where the content is not necessarily new. It is new to me.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm now able to take a series that you know, I just finished the Rescue Me series, which I'm a big Dennis Leary fan, but I had waited on that series and watched it all at once. So instead of a Monday or a Tuesday night program, Wednesday night being a different program, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm watching the same series. And I jokingly call this serial monogamy.
You know, you're right. Binging. We did that when we were on vacation in Vermont. We don't have cable, so we had to bring along our own stuff. And my son had gifted my daughter a collection of the show Community, which my husband and I hadn't seen. And we sat there and binged on Community and laughed and ha-ha'd. And the other thing is that watching multiple shows, and this is like the second, third season, is to watch even how the show has evolved over that same amount of time. But yes, I'm guilty as, you know, so laid out. Serial monogamy, I like that.
And there was, even following that up, so you and your husband were watching those shows together.
Right,
and
that's
this
right.
became a bonding point, much like television mm-hmm. is a social bonding point in the home. I saw some very interesting research at CES that talked about how families were watching this content together and being on demand. Husbands and wives were actually, in 88% of the households that they had interviewed, they found that if someone watched an episode out of sync with the other, it was a form of infidelity. Episodic infidelity. It's an interesting point that if we move to this completely on-demand world, where consumers pull their content when they want to watch it, and they're watching it as a family, then those conditions exist where your episode ahead of me, I'm going to give you a little grief, or I'm going to hide from the fact that I've watched that and I'll watch it again with you. So it was some very interesting research there on how some of those behaviors are changing. And then, of course, you point out in your children how when we're watching the television show, it doesn't have to be at the television. That is following us everywhere we go. And there's a very large effort to take that content down to the mobile devices. You see the pay TV providers who are looking at ways to protect their markets, saying, look, we're going to extend it on TV everywhere. And there's a deal recently signed here with Disney and Comcast where they are going to take that content and extend most of it out. And that's a very important piece there to say, look, consumers are struggling right now with the value of pay TV. So if they can take it with them, in the research we've done, consumers are willing to pay an extra fee for that. More important, though, to the service providers, the Comcast, the Cablevisions of the world, is that they can protect their established base of consumers. Because there's the term going around, cord cutting, where people are going to drop their pay TV subscriptions. We don't actually see that because content is not going to be completely free on the internet. That's a myth. There are services out there. There are the Hulu Pluses and the Netflix, and those are pay services, but those aren't always current content.
Well, I find it interesting. Yeah, exactly. They're still going to be hooked on there. You're right. And, you know, you started your opening remarks and your journey here at the Consumer Electronics Show by saying that this was more of an evolutionary experience for you in terms of what you saw as opposed to revolutionary. Perhaps it, though, would be from what chair you sit in, because I can imagine, though, that there is underneath all this a real revolution at play that's got to have a lot of companies either paralyzed, scrambling, or thinking, who else can I get to? Whether it be the providers, or how are we going to monetize this, or advertisers, or even the shifts inside of companies to know, do I have the right skill set of my people to be prepared for this? And then touched in briefly about the whole security side of it. I mean, there's a whole new industry, is there not, Andy, that's going to manifest around privacy and protection and security?
Indeed, and there are a number of players who are active in that space. But the trend that we're seeing there is, as these technologies are coming out, how does the consumer experience improve along with them?
There we go.
I joke that there CES is 150,000 people. Well, the city I live in is 100,000. We have 3 zip codes, so I figure there's at least 4 or 5 zip codes within CES itself, the number of people. And each of those zip codes is completely different. One is on the technology. One is on the consumer experience. One is on the content side. One is on the whole world that's going to exist 3 to 5 years down the road. And so the things you see on the CES floor and all the glitz and glamour and pictures that are always shown are part of the CES story being told. The other part, though, is all of the suites around town, which are the private suites, where these early technologies are coming together and really trying to build not just what the experience is today, but what's the ecosystem going to look like in the future, so that the chipsets match the software, match the business model. And there's the clash, is business models that are protected.
Right.
Hollywood, needs to make their money, mm-hmm. and their DVD business has shrunk almost 50% over the last 8 years here. We're seeing a tremendous decrease in DVD revenue. Well, that means that is the Internet going to replace that revenue, or are, as we call them, over-the-top delivery systems, or those using the open Internet, are they going to replace that revenue? And so there's fundamental shifts in thinking that are going on, and so that the business matches the technology. And
right.
those are the challenges that are going to play out over the next 3 years.
But I think you've opened our eyes to also matched in amongst this is our whole different behaviors. You know, like you said, that now the mere fact we even have families watching TV together again, to me, that's a profound circling back. I happen to think that that's good news, although it's different news, right? But the other thing I was going to ask you again, because your whole world for your company, the Diffusion Research Group, this idea of the predictability of it, the trends and so on, is the cross-generational things you might be putting your fingers on right now. Because we have a tendency to think that's the younger kids, this is the baby boomers, this is the non-adopters, etc. But are we not seeing really a blurring of some of those lines yet, or is that not case, Andy?
No, there's a complete blurring.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent point. One of the things that we're looking at now is, it's a very simple question. When you think of television, where's the first place you turn? And that sounds like a very simple question, except that when you look at the answers, is it your traditional television, what we call linear television? Is it going channel surfing, going to the guide? Is it going to your DVR, where you've already recorded the content? Is it mm-hmm. using your DVD, VOD? Those behaviors are showing that you know, one-third of consumers are going to an on-demand source. Now, yes, some of those are younger, but that is not necessarily the case, and those lines are blurring, especially as an older population embraces internet connectivity to TV. And it's amazing to see the actual number of people who are internet connected at their television set.
And so what is that number this day and age?
We're looking at it the other day. If you look at just in the game console, Netflix announced over 2 billion hours streamed.
Ooh, whoa.
50% of that was to a game console. 15% to Blu-ray players. Those things are becoming much more commonplace, and we're seeing over a third of the population in the U.S., a broadband household, now connected, and we're closing in on that 50% mark very quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, again, the expertise and that for you personally, you know, being affinity, you know, connected with the TV business for such a long time, broadcasting and video and so on. What if you find your own personal challenges, Andy? What are the things you've kind of caught yourself off guard saying, ooh, I better let go of that one. That isn't the case.
Well, it's moving to an on-demand world is really accepting that I'm not hip. I'm not cool. I'm a dad. And I don't need to watch the latest and greatest. So pop culture's out. And that's actually, there's a freedom in that.
Yeah.
I'm not quite old enough to wear a bathrobe to the office. Not quite there. but that I will watch content when I want to.
Mm-hmm.
The other side, though, is that my poor home is the test grounds for many of these devices.
Mm-hmm.
So we jokingly call it the Life Lab, where it's connected to a piece.
Yeah, that's great. Andy, then, and if I recall that you've got a young child that's in the mix here, so how does your children influence this kind of connections for you?
There was a great day. I couldn't remember when we had a movie. I was looking all over my DVD shelf. My son at the time looked at me and said, Dad, it's in the TV.
Uh-huh.
And it was lightning clear that physical media, DVDs and discs, no longer make sense. It's in the TV. Go ahead, use the broadband, use the connection. But which service was it in? And those challenges have to come together. What they're showing me, though, is then different ecosystems we've built around the TV. So one's an Apple environment, one's an mm-hmm. Xbox environment, one's a PS3, even all of these different environments are so different that you have to think differently on your approach. In the case of the Xbox environment, we can speak to the TV. Xbox pause, Xbox play, very simple things. But then the television, if I have problems, especially when we run into streaming issues across our own home network, I will actually sometimes start talking to my Apple system and say, Xbox, pause. And I do it a little jokingly. My kids laugh with me. But there are such different environments, such different ways of accessing the content. Now, the big difference here, though, is that we've traditionally thought consumers are slow to adopt. Now that we're all internet connected, and so many of us are, the transition from service to service is rapidly, the transition time is rapidly decreasing.
Oh, and I was going to exactly say that, is that it isn't about consumer adoption. It's, are you guys ready there to provide me the stuff so I can get there? I might be two steps ahead of you already.
Exactly. There's a very interesting price move by Netflix, which caught so much attention last year when they raised the price and tried to launch new a separate service, and it caused a lot of backlash. Well, what was fascinating was to see, we ran some instant research to see what would consumers do instead, and it was very evident that a price hike, they were angry about, they would drop the service, and they were willing to drop the service, and they instantly identified new services they would go to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, so, and demand that the technology evolve faster over in that quadrant to appeal to what their needs are. Andy, for you personally, so obviously going to CES for 18 years in a row now, both the physical experience and keeping you fit to walk around, what is it, like 35 football fields full of providers of a variety of ways, as well as you said, the other suites. How else do you stay fresh and clear and objective in this big, huge sea you're otherwise swimming around in, you and your colleagues at TDG?
That's a great point. Sometimes I do believe I'm a bit jaded and cynical. But at the same time, I started looking this event at different technologies that were coming to the forefront. So while I've lived in the connected world of television and broadband and home networking, I started looking at some other technologies at this event that were up and coming. Mm-hmm. One of those that I was looking at was this concept of wearable computing. And so I had an Android-based watch that I was using at the event and actually connecting various with different devices. So talking to health and fitness, talking to, in one case, a visual display for athletes that would, instead of having to look down at your bike computer while you're riding, you could actually just have a visual display showing on your face. It's very quick, very simple information. But safety, so really integrating what we think of as computing into being part of our overall daily life and activity. And this was fascinating to look at. And it really, I saw tie-ins to everything that was going on in the space. So there is there's a little bit of a kid in a candy shop when you're looking at those markets, but also the reality that the promise has to be fulfilled before there will be general.
Exactly. Well, again, Andy Tarzan, who's a founding partner and involved in the corporate development for the Diffusion Group based in Austin, Texas. Thanks so much for joining us. For those who'd like to learn more about Andy's company, what his colleagues do, it's www.tdgresearch.com. And maybe we'll give you a call after next year's show and see how many of these things manifest, some of what the sleepers were as well as those that wake up. Andy, thanks so much for joining us here on Circles of Change.
Very good. Thank you much.
You bet. Have a great day.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.